Hello and welcome to Shades and Justice Podcast. And I'm your host, Dr. Evelyn Hill. Hey, you can always catch us at www.drevelynhill.net. Hey, we are so excited. We have a very special guest on today, the one, the only, Mr. John Hudson. And before we get started, Mr. Hudson, I'd just like to share a scripture with our audience on today. In Isaiah chapter 1, it says in verse 17, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, and plead for the widow. And so today we'll be talking about one area in particular, which is justice for the fatherless. So in your work in this area, you deal with a lot of kids, but we will stop now and allow you a chance to introduce yourself and the name of your organization.
Yes, Dr. Hill, thank you so much. First of all, thank you for allowing me to be on your show for Shades and Justice. In fact, yes, my name is John Hudson. I'm so glad to be here. You asked me what is the name of my organization,
Yes.
and the name of that organization is called Reasons to Believe. Educational Inc., and we focus on mental health awareness and suicide prevention for youth and families in this particular community and beyond.
Okay. Well, that's exciting. And what inspired you? First of all, how long has this organization been in existence? And then what inspired you to do mental health awareness?
Yeah, so in 2019, or it was actually in 2018, I just seen a very big need and push for more mental health awareness just throughout the country. I just seen a lot of young people struggle with the concepts of understanding the difference between fantasy and reality when it comes down to the smartphones and the things dealing with social media as it pertains to helping kids understand, or the dysfunction of kids having the distortion of knowing the truth versus the things that are not true through entertainment and social media. What prompted me to start this is just seeing young people just struggle on a regular basis. At the time, I was working at a college at Johnson County Community College, where I used to educate and counsel and support kids in this area. And more and more and more, I started seeing young people really struggle with mental health awareness and starting to see more young people commit suicide on a regular basis. And I just took immediate action on myself to say, man, what can we do to prevent these types of actions for young people? And how can we get the word out about an organization like what I've started to really help people deal with it, understand it, and increase the value of letting other people know that there is hope and that there is help out there.
Oh, that's awesome. I love the fact that you mentioned hope, because sometimes hope wants to leave us. It wants to go out the back door, slip out the window, and we gotta hold on to hope, with everything that we have. And so the fact that you want to give young people hope, because often they don't find it at home. They are struggling with finding it at school. And even their peers sometimes don't offer hope. I remember, and you might remember this, a few years ago, they found on a text where this person's best friend told him, you ought to just kill yourself. And you remember that? And I just thought, oh, what a terrible thing to tell your best friend or your boyfriend or girlfriend is to go kill yourself. That's terrible. So go ahead.
No, Dr. Hill, that's a prime example of what I am encountering with young people. You have certain things that trigger young people, whether they know it consciously or unconsciously, that's triggering them to do things from a mental standpoint that is not from a healthy, that's not in a healthy way. There's a statistic that says one in five young people will either encounter or have a mental health disorder. One in five. And so
Wow.
you can be in a situation where you're sitting down with a bunch of young people and they don't even recognize or know that they're struggling mentally with something. And so that in itself should let another young person know to be careful or to be more aware of who they are with or what they're doing with another person because they just don't understand the consciousness of what people are doing. So,
Yes.
that's what Reasons to Believe is all about. It's just to get kids to understand and to recognize what they are talking about, who are they talking to, and if there's something going on that they know that they're struggling with, whether it be through an anxiety or depression or any of those types of things from a mental standpoint, there are some resources and tools out there that can really help them get back on track and give them that healthy support that they need.
Well, that's awesome. Now, so just how do you encounter kids? I would love for our audience to hear, what do you literally do with the kids? Do you have a one-on-one opportunity to talk to kids individually? Do you teach a class for kids? Do you or how do you participate in schools? Or are there assemblies? What all do you do?
Yeah, Dr. Hill, that's a great question. All those things that you just mentioned, what we do. I can talk to a kid or and try to come up with a cool way to prevent or come up with a more professional way to talk about this tough conversation about suicide prevention and mental health. And I've come to find out there really is no professional way you can grab a kid's attention. So a lot of times what I do is just get on their level if I can. If I have the ability to get on their level, what that looks like, it could be a variety of different things. So what R2B does or what Reasons to Believe does, I go in inside of a school and I have a assembly style presentation for kids that where I can get on their level. We'll just have a basic conversation. I may incorporate music that they might enjoy. I may get them dancing, moving around. I might ask them some questions about the past, about their future, or even about the present. And from that aspect, I kind of get on their level to really kind of distract them for what a real serious conversation would be like. Because when you start talking about that, getting right into that topic or subject in an assembly style, you automatically lose them because they're going to think it's boring. They think it's, it's something that they don't need or something that they shouldn't talk about. So that's a way that I kind of engage with kids and the teachers, because you never know, the teachers could be going through something too. They got students that could be at risk themselves. They could, have some issues. So, what better way of one person coming in to change the whole dynamic of the atmosphere around giving hope for the entire environment in a school setting? And so, I just try to be that light to really expose the true joy of giving hope. How do we deal with topics like this? And what support systems can we use in that way? So, you asked about small classes. We give small classes after the presentation. We have tough conversations that will really allow kids to go back and forth in conversations about mental health, about suicide. And we just want to have fun, but we want to be educational at the same time to really help them in this time of need if they need us at this time for these endeavors in school.
Well, Mr. Hudson, I have had the opportunity and pleasure of attending a couple of the assemblies that you have been at in a couple of different schools. About how many schools have you been in the last 3 years?
Oh man, I want to say at least I want to say about eight or nine schools within the last 10 years.
Okay, 8 or 9 schools, and each time you do an assembly, about how many kids are in the assemblies?
It can range between 300 students, anywhere up to 15 to 2,000 students.
Okay,
So,
that to me is incredible.
yes.
That is reaching, that's touching a lot of kids. And so the next step to that would be the one-on-one or the small group settings, which I think is now one of your focuses.
The one-on-ones and the small groups, I've done plenty of small groups, and I've done a few one-on-ones with students, just having those basic conversations and giving them, hey, whatever that they're going through or whatever that they need, I can try to give it to them. And if I can't give it to them, one of the things that we promote in the presentations is the new 988 suicide hotline prevention number that really specifically deals with a person from a one-on-one standpoint. Nobody is talking about this 988 number that is being presented, but it is something very needed, dealing with students who may suffer, who want to harm themselves or others. And that's just one tool that we use along with other things to really get with them one-on-one to help them get through a certain status or a behavior issue or a life issue that they're going through at this time.
So, in the last time that I went to a assembly, I was amazed at the participation. So, first of all, the music was blasting. It was some rap music that all the kids could relate to. It was kind of early in the morning, it's like 8 o'clock in the morning, and the kids looked like they weren't really woke yet. But by the time the music was cranked up, and I think what really opened the eyes of the students beyond you and the energy that you bring to an assembly was when you had a dance off, a dance competition, not with the students, but with the teachers. Oh my goodness. I have never seen anything so much fun. You want to describe your philosophy there and kind of what was going on with those teachers?
Well, the object is to get the kids and the students, or excuse me, the students and the staff involved. So whatever way that I can get their attention outside of talking to them, that's what I do. And I have a DJ there, like you mentioned, and me and this young lady, we go back and forth and give them some energy through the music to help them gain some type of energy of what we're going to be doing next. So I can't tell everybody on the show like what I do because I don't really want too many people to kind of take my idea. But I'll just say this. We do have a dance off with the teachers. The kids love it. There's a certain genre of music that I have to, incorporate because that is the era of either what I grew up on or some of these teachers grew up on, and everybody gets involved. So I go down, the teachers dance, the students pick the winner, and so forth and so on. We incorporate that. And then at the end, if the principal allows, I might do a huge dancing with the students where we'll do the bus stop or we'll do the cha-cha slide, anything to get the kids up and going and up and moving. Because there's power through sound, there's power through music, there's power through words of encouragement and empowerment that can really get people to dance and move. So what better way just to get the kids up and going, getting the vibe, getting the tone in the schools if they're coming in from school, then have that dance off through the music and other things that we do at that time.
Well, what a unique way to get the kids involved. So the kids who may have been bored to death and didn't want to participate in all that, when they see their teachers in the middle of the gym floor doing splits
Oh, yeah.
and flipping over backwards and all these different dance moves from different generations, it was not only hilarious and funny, it was so entertaining. I never had that much fun in school, never. But when I
It's
saw
valid.
those,
It's fun, entertaining. I don't mean to cut you off, Dr. Hill, but
it's okay.
it's very comp it's a lot of competition too, because these teachers are wanting to show up one on the other teacher to let them know, hey, after this is over, I'm gonna show you that I'm the one with all the moves, and I still got it from whatever that they danced in at that time. So it's pretty, it's a lot of competition too. But like you said, these teachers and staff members, they love it. The kids love it. And it's just giving them a chance to relax in school and to kind of break the atmosphere with the students and staff to let them know, you know what, they're human too. They're not just
Right.
teachers. They have
Yeah.
homes, they grew up, they have families, you know. This is some of the things that they do when they're at home too. So it's really connecting the students and giving that camaraderie in the atmosphere and let them know that, hey, we're all family here in the community. And these are some of the things we like to do to have fun.
Yeah, and I've heard you share a little bit of your story. I think one of the main things I loved when I went to these assemblies was number one, you did did a free throw from the middle of the gym floor, and sometimes you actually get it in, but sometimes you didn't. But you yourself is a former international basketball player. Could you share a little bit of that, and maybe that too inspired you to bring that talent to the stage when you speak to your students?
Yeah, so Dr. Hill, I played basketball in two countries, semi-professional, with a touring team called Athletes in Action. And I played in New Zealand and I played in Fiji back in the early 2000s when I want to say the basketball era was really, really coming along. Athletes in Action had a thing at halftime where they talked to the kids about a message that they wanted to pursue for the crowd. So I kind of took that idea and twisted it because with me, I kind of take the basketball and I shoot a half court shot and I give myself three tries. And if I make it, obviously the crowd goes wild and everybody loves that. But if I miss it out of the three, I always revert back to life. You know, you only get one shot at life. And you want to make it count. And that sticks a lot with these students and staff because they take it, people can take life for granted and think that if they're having a bad day or if they're going through something, that it's just an easier way to deal with it than to shut their life off or to commit some type of a suicidal act. When no, that's not it. There's plenty of life to live, even though you missed that shot. And that's what R2B is all about, is that there's hope out there and we can help you continue to get stronger and stronger and develop your skills so that when you take that shot, your chances of being successful will be way more greater than just giving up on yourself and others. And if you do make that happen to make that shot the first time, which has been very hard for me to do, you know that life is not like that all the time. What you see is not always what you get. And it's sometimes good to make the shot the first try, but it don't, it's, it, life is not always a ice cream and sprinkles. You're going to have bad days. And what do you need to do, or who can you go to have that support in case you have a day where you don't make those shots? So I just use that as an example. And the kids love it, the students love it, and then I spread my message after that, and it holds a lot of weight to what life is about. You have one shot in life, you know, don't take it for granted. Use it, and try to inspire yourself and others, in such a way that it leaves an indelible mark that whether you hit the shot off the backboard or if it goes in, it doesn't make any difference how you get the shot in. You just took the shot and make it because that's what we want you to do. We want you to be successful and make it.
That's awesome, Mr. Hudson. So, I've been knowing about this organization since about 2018, 2019, somewhere in there. But then COVID hit in 2020. Did COVID have an effect on what you could do?
Oh,
Kind of
yeah.
share a little bit about any challenges or encouragement during COVID and the
Yes.
injustices our country was going through in 2020.
Yeah. The pandemic really had a big, huge influence on the organization as a whole. When I started this, we were just getting started. We were gaining a lot of momentum in the community. People were asking us to come, and what is it about? Yes, we believe these students need it. And when the pandemic hit, they shut down everything, obviously. So we could not go into schools, we couldn't talk to principals, we couldn't do anything. And during that process, even me, I got a little depressed and a little hopeless because I was like, oh my God, I just started this organization thinking that this would be an effective state, and now they're trying to take this away from me. But I stuck with it. And as you know, Dr. Hill, in 2021, we started gaining ground little by little. And in 2022, it was getting a little bit more ground. And then in 23, here we are now in 24, things are starting to really take off again. And it's just a blessing how everything happened. But during the season where we were cut off, it was really a tough time for me and the organization. We were losing money. We were losing even staff and people from the board because things were just happening at a fast rate. So, with that being said, here we are in 2024, and we've been to within the last 2 years, we've been to five schools and touched over 2,000 students. You know, that to me, that says that we're on our way back, and there's an uptick in the rise of what we're doing, and we're excited about that.
Oh, that's awesome. And I want to say to you, Mr. Hudson, thank you for not giving up. Because like you said, it was 2020 was just tough. It was just so much negativity going on TV. And you weren't supposed to go anywhere except the grocery store. And so it was just very, very challenging period. And the kids who already had social issues now are stuck in the house. Those that didn't get fed at home, now they're stuck in the house. Hopefully, they were able to survive through all of that. And were there any alternative measures that you did virtually in doing that year? What'd you do virtually?
Dr. Hill, glad you mentioned that. We had online sessions with people who wanted to be involved with R2B because we knew that would be a great idea to do. We provided just some fun activities online for kids that could come in, and we can just have a one-on-one talk or a group talk session through Zoom, or we can have a workout to do some fun activities through the workout to keep them fit and to keep them healthy. We talked about some educational things through some of the books that I have written for the curriculum base for students to get involved in. So we provided some activities during the pandemic for kids all across the country, you know, on through Zoom. And it was effective, it was much needed. And you know, we're proud of that. So during that time, even though we couldn't really reach the kids face to face and have that one-on-one or in-person type of vibe, we still was able to reach out to some kids through Zoom and through the community in that way. So, yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I remember because I would look at your website and Facebook page and activities, and if I remember right, you had kids from Arizona and Oklahoma and Illinois. So
We had kids from
you
all
just
over. Yeah.
you just pivoted and kept it moving. So thank you for that creativity. So you mentioned something earlier about the media and its influence on our young people. And often it doesn't give you a real view of life. And but the young people and old people too take it like it's face ba value, like it's the law, it's the word. So could you speak to that component a little bit and how that affects the mental health of our students?
You know, these young people don't understand the dynamics of their actual mind and how it's developed as they grow older. Their cerebral vortex, which is this is the part of the brain that struggles the most when you start talking about mental health because it's not developed to helping them mature and to really realize the difference between reality versus fantasy. And these cell phones that we have and that we use on a regular basis is oftentimes our biggest blessing and our biggest curse when it comes down to just understanding or being in a healthy relationship and doing things from a healthy standpoint. So I could go on and on and on about, the difference between consciousness and the difference between unconsciousness. Because, for instance, Dr. Hill, when you go to sleep, you are unconsciously aware of anything because your brain is shut down, your body is shut down, is at a calm state, and you are not trying to figure out anything when you are asleep. But when you are awoke and you are aware, you actually can touch, move, see, go to, feel, have emotions and things of that regard. Well, on your cell phone, if you're looking at something and you're not understand, you're not, you look at it from face value on the phone, but you're not able to consciously grab it or get it to your actual self, but you think that you can, that's a barrier where you're having some type of a problem and you need to get some help. And we, as older adults and as young people, we struggle with that. I struggle with it. I'm just like anybody else. We have our cell phones, and we just need to be more conscious about our screen time that we use. We need to be more conscious about what we actually watch. And this thing called TikTok, where you're scrolling, you're literally using your thumb scrolling, and you can see different antics, different types of things that go on and on and on. It can be really dangerously addictive. So it used to be other types of things that could be addictive on social media or the cell phone, but now you got TikTok and Instagram, which could be a whole nother world. So I'm trying to get youth and families about being more aware of what they are watching. And one of the ways that they can deal with putting their cell phone down and watching their screen time is what they're doing to help themselves with that. So one of the things that I talk about is the very thing that I got on my shirt. It's called self-care, right? So we can do things for ourselves that'll help us get our focus back, get our minds back on reality, and do it in a healthy way where it is still fun and engaging, to where we can empower ourselves and engage in such a way that we're not using an electrical device to entice our mental status for whatever negative or unhealthy way of thinking. So I just use some of these things, but you talked about what is being used in that way, and that's it as far as
Okay.
dealing with that with young people.
Mr. Hudson, one of the last things, and I'm going to mute myself for just a second. Okay, Mr. Hudson, thank you for our station break just for a minute. One last thing. It's exciting that you now have, or you are in the process of putting together a R2B app that kids can look at. Can you tell us a little bit about this new app that you're putting together and how that will benefit kids?
Yeah, we're in the very beginning stages of that app, Dr. Hill, but basically what we have is a something to where kids can go to if they're having a bad day, to kind of test their mood and their emotional status at the time. If they're in a good mood, if they're in a bad mood, if they're in an okay mood, or they feel like things are a thumbs up, or it's kind of an in-between. We kind of build something on the Reasons to Believe website that will kind of help them do something in such a way if they were feeling a way, whether it be good or bad. So we started that about a couple of months ago at the first of the year, and we're excited about that. And so if kids ever wanted to kind of gauge their mental health status, per se, at the time, they can always go to Reasons, the number two, believe dot life, and kind of play with that and see how they're feeling, to kind of help them along the way. When you click on that, it does have affirmation words or affirmation quotes that will help them throughout the day, dealing with certain things, or words of inspiration or encouragement to empower them to have a better day. And we, you know, it's still in the development stages, but I think, you know, as time progressed, we'll continue to improve that and enhance that to be more available for the students at the time.
Well, Mr. Hudson, what an incredible work that you are doing. I so appreciate your focus on the youth. I appreciate that so much. And you know, it takes a village to raise a kid. So I think you have a couple kids yourself, right?
Yeah, I do. I have two boys. And I, you know, one would be 17, the other one would be 9, and they're the joy of my life. I mean, I cannot explain to you how much I love my two boys. They encourage me, they inspire me. And because of them is the reason why I do what I do. If you don't hear about minority men really taking care of their kids, because I'm a single father, I'm not married, and I do the best that I can with what I have. And I have a support team that kind of gives me the support that I need, not only for my boys, but for me too, because I need that as well. That's why I'm wearing shirts like self-care, and I write books like Because I'm a Dope Black Father, to really help other people to be more dedicated, to be more optimistic, to bring that power and encouragement to other families to where they can be dope too, like myself. So
Yeah.
I love my boys, and I want to inspire and let others be examples to their kids, as a lot of people are doing. But yeah, Dr. Hill, having two boys has been the love of my life, and I wouldn't trade it for the world.
And then one last thing, Mr. Hudson, can you share some of the other books? Because you've written at least 20 books. Maybe there's several other topics or the you'd like to just share some of the other titles of the books.
Yeah, so Because I'm a Dope Black Father came out last year, I have a Fred Dexter book series. It's a children's book series that I literally dedicated to parents to have those tough conversations with kids about bullying, about mental health, about smartphones and things like that. So I want to be a part of the solution. I've written other books in regards to motivating kids. I've written a book about my life journey, my memoir. Is called Ignored and Ignited, how I play basketball, you know, in two countries, and people trying to figure out, man, how did you do that? If you look to your left, probably my right, I've taken pictures with celebrities and played basketball. All my teammates who I've played ball with have all had a tremendous impact and on people on me from the aspect of giving hope and understanding that resilience is real. You need to be resilient in life, and sometimes you need special individuals in your life who is going to pour into you and have that relationship so that you can gain a relationship with Christ. And so for me, that is what I've done. You can witness all my books on johnwhudson.org. And I have an actual bookstore where you can purchase them all. They're all available on Amazon. And then you can also go to the Reasons to Believe website, reasons, the number two, believe.life, and you can get the books there. But I have a family that is very strong on education. My mother obviously is very strong on education, which happens to be you. And then I have Dr. Lee in Minnesota, who is a PhD, and all my aunties, they all have inspired me, and so have other family members have inspired me. But the three people who I never share this with, the people that inspire me the most, has always been Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, you know, Bill Cosby, Martin Lawrence, and people like that who are just, I just watched them, just like, man, fascinated with that. So, that's what encouraged me to write books, play sports, and to just be innovative in such a way where I'm just not talking about something, but I'm actually doing something and being taking action into being a part of the solution instead of the problem.
Well, Mr. Hudson, thank you. You are my youngest son,
Yes.
and how you inspire me and encourage me, you probably just don't even have a clue. I have just been so taken by the creativity that you have displayed, the passion to work with kids is absolutely incredible and amazing. So I want to encourage you to keep up the good work. And I want you to take a minute and share again your two websites of how people can get in touch with you or your books.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Hill. My website is johnwhudson.org. On there, you can witness everything from R2B to the bookstore, and even the music. We didn't even talk about the music. We didn't talk about the smooth jazz and the album, but you can listen to that. I'm a solo bass artist, and I have my own smooth jazz album as well. And so that's one thing as well that I do. And then also too, you have the other website, which is All Reasons to Believe, is reasons, the number two, believe.life. And that goes into the organization of what we talked about today on your podcast. And we just encourage people to check it out. You will be surprised how much people value information online that can be beneficial to their youth and their family. This is another
Yes.
tool and avenue that we have created for you, for the viewer who wants to know more about people doing something positive to helping our youth in this generation become more aware about mental health and about suicide prevention. So please tune in and be a part of our community online.
Well, Mr. Hudson, what a fantastic interview. And yes, you are a very excellent bass guitarist. And you are now becoming a phenomena in the region as more and more organizations are pulling you in and your band. And you do a wonderful job with the music. It's like, where did that come from? So we were shocked when you started writing books, and so now you're making albums. What's next? I mean, you are the man. You are just extremely talented. We're so excited what the Lord has done. And one of the things that you do is you work with the oppressed kids and their families. You work with so many of the students who are fatherless. They don't know who their fathers are, or fathers are not in the home. So we thank you for taking that kind of time out with those kids. So thank you again. This is Dr. Evelyn Hill at Shades in Justice Podcast. Wow, thank you, Mr. Hudson. What a wonderful
Thank
job.
you. Had a great time.
And you can always catch me at www.drevelynhill.net. Until next time, remember, this is Shades in Justice. Thank you. Bye-bye.